the jibber jabber. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ah, this is called Regis Philbin is Still Old. Very old.
But you'll be on tomorrow.
Good.
I guess the cast over there, of all the soaps, made their own CD?
Yeah.
Or DVD? What do you call those things?
CD.
CD.
Music.
That's what you call it these days, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Music CD.
I think I just lost the audience there. What a dope. Doesn't he know what they are yet?
It's an album.
It's an album.
It's a record album.
It's a record. They made a record.
Record.
Yeah. Anyway, she'll be here tomorrow, and we'll talk
oh,
about
good.
That.
Well, that's
yeah,
exciting.
Fine.
That is so true, Dick.
Regis.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I almost called
it. Look, the key for me is to keep expectations low.
Right.
And just as cute as a peyote button, the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you!
What's in not bad.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I know I call you guys way too much about the Regis Show.
Yeah, and I'm glad you didn't today because I T-voted it and I watched it later when Regis was having about 11 senior moments this
All
morning.
I wanted to call and say was, what half a fag Russian sailor suit did Gelman have on today? Did you catch his outfit?
It's funny the things you focus on. I was going to focus on Regis reading the entire story about bras in London and getting the story
backwards.
Just completely clueless. But now that you mention it, I was looking at that little, it looked like something like a three-year-old toddler would wear to school in London.
From the Russian Navy. Think of like, what's the, not clear and present danger, the one with Alec Baldwin.
Hunt for Red October.
That's it. Think about when Sean Connery is with the guys, they're singing that song. They all have on those striped shirts.
Yeah, those odd-looking little sailor suits. Uh-huh. The show had a very interesting energy. In fact, I think you'll agree, it had that kind of energy where it was so bad it was good. Regis was just so out of it this morning, and she was too a little bit. They really weren't with it because she did a whole riff on the on the new show with the beauty queens, the little baby beauty queens, and the audience was just not buying it.
I had a question about that. Kelly Ripa, we're talking about the Regis Show today. She mentions that last night she watches something on the My Network, whatever that is, about six-year-old beauty queens.
Yeah.
And I'm
said it's going to be on VH1, too.
And I'm thinking, is this like a JonBenet thing?
Sure.
Because most people now, when you watch that, we go, ugh, that's ucky. I couldn't tell if she was fascinated by it or if she found it disgusting.
I think she liked it. I think it was on two levels. I think she was saying it was riveting television. You know, she didn't go into detail about that. She didn't give us an answer to that question. I think she might like it because it's got, you know, little kids that are well-behaved because she's got apparently little kids that aren't that well-behaved. But it's, you know, when I heard her talking about it, I'd like to see it if it's a, you know, filled with stage mommies, evil stage mommies that you see. I think those beauty contests for six-year-old are, they're the most disgusting things you can see.
Around the time JonBenet happened, I think, didn't we collectively as a society go, it's kind of weird to dress our six-year-old girls up like hookers. Right.
But it's still that still exists.
It continues, and the moms are still out there.
It's just so – what's sick about it is you're dressing them up to look like Miss America contestants at 6 years old. They're little girls. Right. It doesn't make any sense.
Holy mackerel is all on TV. Get Well, Michael Wilbon. This is a surprise. Watching PTI last night on the DVR, got home, and there's Tony Kornheiser, there's some other guy. And I'm used to that when one of them's not there. And they see something like, Wilbon's not feeling well today. Mm-hmm. And right towards the end of the show, they come out, and Tony Kornheiser says, hey, Wilbon had chest pains.
Mm-hmm.
We hope he gets well. So, we do wish Michael Wilbon get well wishes.
I was reading about that today, and he lives in Scottsdale. That surprises me. I thought he was a local D.C. guy because he writes for the Post and all that.
He's another one of those guys that kind of gets around it. Like, you know that broad Sally Jenkins
mm-hmm.
who writes for the Washington Post?
Right.
She lives in New York City.
Really?
Yeah.
She
doesn't live here.
I didn't know they got those deals. I go back to All the President's Men when I think of writers for a newspaper.
Right.
They all have to go down to the Washington Post building.
Although on Saturday, I think it was in Saturday's Washington Post, Sally Jenkins wrote a magnificent piece about, maybe it was Sunday, about Dan Snyder, about him being a little kid with his toys,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't want to play toys with other people, and that he called the coaches in, and the coaches didn't want to play with his decoder ring, so he kicked them out of the room. I mean, really great. So everybody knows how screwed up that is with the Redskins,
right.
that they hire an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator, but they don't have a head coach yet.
Yeah, I mean, we were railing against Jim Fossil last week, but nothing's happened. There's been no movement on this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are they any closer to getting a head coach?
What they're saying is it's either going to be Jim Fossil or Steve Mariucci. Really?
Steve Mariucci. That's there's hilarious. Another name in the equation now.
This morning I got a call.
He's beautiful. Rob, you fag.
Do you remember when we used to go and broadcast from the Super Bowl? Gosh, one thing I do with all these creeps is I network with all these people.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got cards from, like, Fox technicians and stuff from when we've gone to the Super Bowl broadcast before. I do it with the broadcasters. I do it with the engineers. I just like networking with these guys. So I got an instant message today saying from an engineer that used to work for Fox, now works for the NFL Network, saying, turn it on right now because Rich Eisen is having a hissy fit because he's got a cold. Now, this is from someone who works at the NFL Network.
Right, okay.
Sends me the IM. It's on the download that he's sending this to me, right? And I turn it on, and goddamn if he's not right, they're sitting on the set, and Rich Eisen, almost as if on command, says, well, the only thing that could make this worse would be if you're at the pinnacle of your career and you get hit with a monster flu.
Oh, my God. So he's just totally self-absorbed and not being a pro.
Yeah.
And just being a little bit of a whiner. I think we've established that Rich Eisen's a bit of a baby.
And then 2 seconds later, Steve Mariucci comes on the set.
Right.
And he has on a burgundy tie.
Mm-hmm.
And they start saying to him, is there any significance to the fact that you have on a burgundy tie? And he says, I'm not going to talk about anything.
What are your feelings on Steve Mariucci?
I agree with Robbie. He's dreamy.
He is beautiful.
It's just like Jim
Fossil. His eyes, though. Man.
He's like a younger, sleeker Jim Fossil.
That's exactly what. But it's the same. Isn't it the same relative track record?
You get a
I mean, Jim Fossil went to a Super Bowl, so you got to give him credit for that.
You get a toolbox, you put them both inside.
Did Mariucci go to a Super Bowl?
No. No, he did not.
He was a failed coach of the San Francisco 49ers.
Steve Mariucci has maybe the most piercing eyes, though.
Blue. Bluer than blue.
Well, if it's a beauty contest, Stevie. You have to pick Mariucci over Fossil.
I don't know. You're not like me. You don't watch NFL Network a lot. I saw when he was coach of the Lions, when they had live coverage of his Baca ball. What is the Boca ball? Baca
ball? Bocce ball?
Bocce ball.
Bocce ball.
That weird Italian
does he
game.
Play bocce?
Lawn bowling.
Are they not?
It's lawn bowling.
It's lawn bowling. That's what it is, but it's bocce if you're going to use the proper Italian boy.
Right. Now, yes, boy.
Yes, boy.
So this week, is Rich on like his monster, like 12-hour days when he's on his big platform in Arizona?
It was hilarious because they were covering. He was getting very mad. They had a moment. They were on live TV. And here's the shot. They're in the stadium, and there are about 10,000 reporters that are being held behind the barricades to come onto the field where the players are. And Rich Eisen says, with his cold, he says, all right, and there's the word 5-4, get ready for the sea of humanity. And nothing happens. Mm.
Nobody walks in?
No, they're not letting the reporters in yet.
Good.
So
they missed the cue. That gets him angry.
He sits there, and he sits there, and he sits there. And it's great because they're talking into his ear, and he's not looking at the camera. And all of a sudden, they throw it to Deion Sanders, who's standing behind Jerry Jones. I'm sorry, Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots. And Deion Sanders has this way about him. It's like the guy is just surrounded by paparazzi and reporters. Deion Sanders just walks in, puts his arm right in the middle of all of this, interrupts that guy, Len Berman, from Channel 4 in New York, and just jumps and goes, hey, Mr. Kraft, it's prime time!
Was he wearing a suit?
Yeah, I'm not adequately describing this. It was an absolute car wreck, an abortion of live television.
Because they have all these hours to fill, right? And they're not necessarily, filled with, pre-taped segments or anything like that.
And they're not running on schedule. And because poor Rich Eisen has a cold.
I decoded his dose.
He's got the cold.
I'm really not happy being here.
He's into bad booze.
He's a self-important guy, too, at the pinnacle of his career. Uh-huh. So right now he believes he's climbed the mountain.
He does.
Being on the fabulous NFL Network that's watched by
me.
You.
He's rich.
That's it.
Rich Eisen.
Good luck, chump.
Well, you knew he was sensitive.
And the other thing that I love, because we've gone, as we've said, something, we've been very blessed. We've had the Good Luck to Go broadcast from Super Bowls before it became fashionable. And this morning, I knew that if we had been out in Scottsdale, I'm the kind of dick. I'm on the treadmill watching Mike and Mike this morning on ESPN doing their radio show, 5 a.m. in Arizona. And I'm thinking, who are the dickwads that are standing like 20 feet behind the pool wearing like a yellow hat to get on TV going, hey? And then I realize if we were there, I swear to God, that would be me.
Right.
And I would be calling Mike saying, turn on TV right now.
And I'd be in the bed going, that's great.
Don, I was at the Nike party last night.
There is something about everything that goes on at that Super Bowl, and you see the best parts either very early or very late, either very early morning or late night broadcasts.
That's why you and I usually had it covered. You know, we would see both sides of what was going on. When you would be out there, though, you would be you were excited. You liked the whole thing. Up early in the morning and out to the NFL experience. And
I like pretending.
But because you were up early, you would manage to, like, infiltrate special stuff. You were always getting into trouble out there. You were always ending up the best was when, I walk into this hallway and you're standing up at the podium, right before the commissioner's press conference.
I remember
that. Oh, boy. That made it fun.
Well, we actually did that on the air, too, didn't you? I mean, where you had the microphone and said, would anyone like to ask me some questions?
Fun getting credentials the year after that.
I'll bet. Yeah.
But really, oh, God, now it's become, as you mentioned the other day, it's become ridiculous.
30,000 credentials out there. And to watch the sea of unwashed humanity trying to get past these barricades while Rich Eisen is trying to describe this with his stuffed-up nose, and you're just seeing every guy that looks like 20 types of different kid touchers all jammed together with their pocket protectors.
I would enjoy the Super Bowl just a little more if I could just get a little more analysis of the game.
That's right. It's not nearly enough.
I really, really wish we could get just a little bit more analysis.
The whole Super Bowl experience is like Scientology because you're always trying to get to the next level and pass the next rope.
Right.
The worst moment that I watched today was Rich Eisen orally taking care, and by orally I mean with words.
Uh-huh.
Taking care of Chris Berman.
And oh, really?
As Chris Berman sat at the NFL Network desk with Rich Eisen.
Hot couple.
Rich Eisen said he felt like he was sitting next to the Tom Brady of broadcasting.
Oh, God. Oh, wow. Somebody and hit him. Somebody.
I'm looking at the big human fart, Chris Berman, who, God save his life, will not buy a long sleeve shirt.
So he had the sport coat riding halfway up his forearm with his little hairy arms
and
that he's got.
He's, so Rich Eisen is going, I feel like the Cole Brennan of broadcasting. That's the quarterback of Hawaii.
Right.
And I'm sitting here next to the Tom Brady. Well, that's very nice of you. I don't. Yeah.
What is it with these former and current ESPN guys? They really. Who decided that these guys were so indispensable? God, they got full of themselves.
You get into this, it's like Boomer. And I love the fact he has a nickname.
A sports nickname.
Even though he's just a broadcaster.
You know, right. He ate chocolate donuts at Brown University. That's as close as he got to sports.
Boomer, how many Super Bowls for you? Well, because he's got that whole.
Yeah. Well, his shirt, he's got a 19.5-inch neck with a 15-inch collar on it.
22.
And these guys don't think you can corroborate this. They walk around like their ass doesn't stink. They are sitting there going, holding court, and because they're the show.
Right.
The players are hidden. Then, they're sequestered.
I take it back. He said 26 years because he said it was the one with Dwight Clark and the pass from Joe Montana. Mm-hmm. And then Rich Eisen says, we've got some video of that. And they show some grainy ESPN 1981 footage where it's Chris Berman who looks like, his left leg now. He's so thin, relatively speaking. And he's saying, it's an incredible upset. And they come back, and Rich Eisen's just shaking his head, and he just says, you are like the Tom Brady of broadcasting.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Like, why did you just kiss him on the mouth and get it done with?
You know what? There are two things that have soured me on ESPN. Way back when we interviewed Stuart Scott, and we realized these guys take themselves just a little too seriously, and the home run derby. That was my official total departure from ESPN, when you have to sit there, and every home run, Chris Berman has to go, back.
Mm-hmm. Listen, on ESPN, I'll tolerate Trey Wingo. Mark Schlereth is a friend. I think he's pretty good.
Stinky's all right.
There are a lot of former jocks that are on that channel that are really good. The guy I can't stand is Sean Salisbury. Because here's the thing.
He knows everything about everything.
As far as I know, Sean Salisbury was a suck-ass quarterback who played like as a guy that goes from one team to another team to another team. Mm-hmm. He may have had a couple of good seasons, but he's really a nobody. I hate Sean Salisbury staring at me on TV, telling me everything that's wrong with Tom Brady and Eli Manning and Brett Favre and going all the way back to Randall Cunningham. And even though he didn't play then, he's pretty sure that Otto Graham did things wrong, too, because, God damn it, he's Sean Salisbury.
Right.
How you doing, guys?
Slicky Sean Salisbury.
But he's not the most hated.
What time are the...
Next up on SportsCenter Poetry Jam, y'all put y'all hands together for Stuart Scott.
God.
Superstars without a ring, that is the thing that binds them. Three men, all with pride, who glide across a court, but in short, have 22 combined all-star games and the perceived blame of not being enough of a team player. Layered in all of that is the biggest name of the bunch and a hunch that it all falls on Kevin Garnett.
Huh?
One of only four active guys to average 20 and 10 a night, yet wasn't quite right in Minnesota. But here's the dream, Celtic Green, as we go behind the scenes with no holds barred across the pond. Spoken word.
You're a jackass, Stuart Scott.
That guy,
you might as well be in Shrek. I swear to God, you are such a jackass.
This is a man who wakes up every morning and he does not believe that the game is the thing or the athlete is the thing. Uh-huh. He believes he is the thing. That it's about him.
Sean Salisbury is worse in my eyes. I just get so tired of a guy sitting up there who looks sleep deprived. The poor bastard. They work him like 24 hours a day at ESPN. And here's pretty much all he ever says. Well, Trey, it's pretty simple from the time I played. You catch the ball, you throw the ball. Big time players make big time plays. That's why they're big time. Now, all right, I never really did dick, but I want to tell you something. It's all about throwing the ball.
You ever play the sports cliche game
with him?
Yeah, or with anybody, you know? Yeah, we have to take it one game at a time.
He's bad at that. Belichick is probably the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But on purpose. I think that's purposely done.
We're going to treat this like any other game.
They showed some sort of montage last week of Belichick every week saying, all we're focusing on is Miami. All we're focusing on is Cincinnati. All we're focusing on is Detroit.
Right. Yep. Most important thing is to go out there and have fun.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey. We're caught up in Super Bowl mania, my friend.
Wouldn't you love it if a coach just came along just to screw people up with a spoken opposite cliches? You know, I think the most important thing is to go out there and have a really bad time.
We're counting on at least two of our players being pulled over by the cops on Saturday night before the game.
65%.
I'm not really worried about this game because we're looking ahead to two games down the road.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. What's happening?
Hey, Sean Salisbury is so worthless that at the beginning of the season, he said Randy Moss's career is finished, that it's through. That's how worthless that guy is.
God, you know what? This is a sports radio right here because there's a guy that hangs on. I mean, even whether you like Sean Salisbury or not, you remembered what he said at the beginning of the season.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Yeah, guys, I was calling about I saw Rich Eisen with his clogged up head. And, you know, I have a theory that anytime I see a celebrity on TV and they claim more than once that they have a head cold, clearly they're just trying to cover up a Coke binge from the night before. if they just would say, I mean, if they'd say nothing, I wouldn't expect anything. You know, but you try and say it's a cold, clearly you hooked up.
They certainly are overworking these guys on the NFL Network.
Listen, much of, I'd love to to dig a hole and throw Rich Eisen inside. There's no chance. I mean, yeah, he's doing coke with Jim Nantz.
Right.
Okay. Rich Eisen is sitting in his room reading the NFL rule book backwards to forwards.
He's studying all the teams, and I think the Patriots are going to have a really good game because they're not team players. I'm still trying to do the opposite of cliches just to confuse people.
That'd be great. We totally disrespect the Giants. Are you kidding? Yes, they stink. We're 18-0. Why am I even answering these questions? Eli, please. He's more retarded looking than his brother.
In order just to get to this league, you don't necessarily have to have NFL talent.
We were lucky.
Tom doesn't even know the plays. Tom Brady can't read.
I think the most important thing is to not catch the ball.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
I'm really not looking forward to a physical contest.
Tom Brady's leg is effed up.
Hello.
That's a good one.
Don and Mike, hello there.
Hey, what about the lawn gnome, Tony Kornheiser?
Oh, listen, Tony Kornheiser is an acquired taste. I think, generally speaking, we're big fans of Tony, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I like him on TV, and I also like his columns. He writes beautifully.
He's pretty good on the radio, too, actually.
Also beautiful.
A very beautiful man.
Mm-hmm. Him and Mariucci. I'd watch that video.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, I wanted to talk about one time.
I just want everybody to know that come Sunday, we will be unprepared.
Who would be the top and who would be the bottom?
Mariucci would be the top first, and then they'd switch.
I think Mariucci would always be bottom.
I think Mariucci sodomizes Kornheiser. Absolutely. Mariucci,
really? So he'd be the dominant?
Yeah, Mariucci is always the pitcher.
On sports handies?
Sports handies.
Well, I had them having full-blown intercourse.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's all those chapters on a DVD.
Boy, poor Tony. Because Mariucci's a bit more of a thick guy.
Poor Mariucci.
Mm-hmm. No, I think his way.
Tony Kornheiser's your woman.
Yeah, Tony.
They both love every minute of it.
Tony Kornheiser smells like old man. You know he does.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just like Old Spice and socks.
At least
burnt coffee.
Steve Mariucci's still got gray hair down there. I mean, still have.
What?
I'm sure that Steve Mariucci still has dark hair down there.
Ah, I would assume so.
Not like Kornheiser's all fallen out.
Yeah, just like little clumps.
Well, I think Mariucci is probably clean shaved.
Should we just stop for a moment?
You'd have to wear like one of those masks, surgical masks, just to battle the Kornheiser coffee breath.
Could you just take a moment out of your busy day, everybody, to stop right now and picture what it would be like if Tony Kornheiser just stood in front of you and pulled down his pants? Oh, what would that look like?
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine what that little mess would look like?
Wow.
He could play elephant.
I think it would look like, you know what I really think it would look like? Take the tan away, but it would look like the lady in Something About Mary. With a little hair, with patches of hair. I think you'd have that sag factor.
I think he looks a lot like Peter North.
Oh, really?
I do.
Really?
I do.
And, of course, he'd be circumcised.
Oh, yes, yeah. He would.
Twice.
You know, I wonder...
That'd be
interesting
to see.
You know how gay you've taken this down? Now I'm beginning. I'm thinking about Tony Kornheiser's size. What it would look
medium.
Like.
Medium.
I'm going to say perhaps surprisingly larger than you might think.
I say this, exceptional.
That's a cop out.
No.
That's a cover your ass.
No.
And I mean cover your ass.
Beyond what you said.
All right, exceptional. Listen.
Oh, really? Exceptional? You mean like film quality?
Yeah.
Wow.
Then I'll like Dirk Diggler?
Yes.
Then I will go the other way. I'll go like little boy size.
It's I don't think it's in the middle.
Like Bart Simpson?
I think one of you guys is right. It's either exceptional or, you know, childlike.
Or regrettable.
Right. It's either Dirk Diggler or the mushroom.
Could you imagine anything more hideous than laying there and have Tony Kornheiser come in the room, take off his robe, want to make love? Seriously, could you picture anything worse? Like the smell of Desinex and his... bad orange breath coming off him.
Orange breath. Second, I'm thinking about
it's orange hair coffee breath. Orange breath would be like our spray. It would be sweet.
Old man genitals.
Yeah. Hey. And all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting there and he's about an inch away from you on the pillow and you feel this amazingly tickling thing. And you look out and it's a hair coming out of his ear.
A long one.
A big long one. That's the consistency of rope.
As soon as he starts doing it, he says... Call me Jaws. Call me Jaworski.
How old is Tony?
TK's really going to have fun tonight.
He's got to be in his 60s.
You think he's that old?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I
think so.
but he's got the libido of a man much younger.
You know, we are such fans of him, but he is funny to make fun of. It really is fun to make fun of TK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he can't take it. I mean, he makes us look like we are absolutely men of Teflon. You could say anything and we won't respond. God, he's more of a girl than we are.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. And he's, you know, he fights back too, which is fun. He fights back, but not, you know, with his pen. He does.
Is that what he calls it?
He fights back with a small penis.
Or exceptional. We'll never really know.
One of those.
Until we get Mrs. TK on the show.
Yes, there he is. A dream never realized.
Wouldn't that be something?
Lily Kornheiser?
How you doing, Lily?
I'm not happy.
Lily Kornheiser. Lily.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, you guys.
Hey there.
Hey, you were just talking about John Salisbury or Sean Salisbury?
Yeah, Sean Salisbury.
I'm pretty sure he was on BattleBot. with the replacement guy from the Man Show. I'm pretty sure on the first season.
All right, dude. Just another reason to respect.
BattleBots.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. That's why I love Sean Salisbury. He hosted BattleBots.
BattleBots.
All right, that's two pro Sean Salisbury votes here.
Yeah. God, I hated BattleBots.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Kornheiser is like a Shar-Pei down there.
lots of folds of skin. Not fat, but just excess skin. Not fat at all. We're fatter than Tony Kornheiser. Much fatter, but he's got excess skin.
Right. I bet he smells like an egg cream down there.
You could probably pick Tony Kornheiser up and just carry him like a kitten.
How bony do you think that ass is?
By his neck skin.
How bony do you think that ass is, seriously?
Oh, you'd cut yourself on it. You'd cut yourself, really. I mean, you know, as a matter of fact, if you sat down on his lap at the top of a snowy hill, asked him to lift his legs in the air, you could sled on him. That's how bony his ass is.
Wow. Transparent when he opens the refrigerator, right? It's like looking at the guy with the suit on that's just got bones.
Yeah.
X-ray.
Yeah, exactly.
The X-ray suit.
I think he's got meat on his bones, but it's like the top half would be highly underdeveloped.
I've seen him in person. He's soft. He's very soft.
Doughy.
He's soft and doughy.
He's a soft guy.
Yeah, he's very soft.
But wouldn't you agree that he would have a bit of a clam belly, I would think,
Tony
down at
Kornheiser?
The bottom. A little bit of a belly, but the ass would be bony.
And a young boy's...
See, secretly we want to make love to him. That's why we're talking like this.
I just want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to watch you make love to him.
Okay.
That's all I want.
That'll improve the turn-on for
You're
me.
You're off topic. What we want is him making love to Steve Mariucci.
And
Mariucci.
Get well, Michael Wilbon. That's
yeah.
Right. That's what the,
that's how
what,
this
that's,
whole thing started.
That's what we're all about.
Yeah. Oh, so a three-way?
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.